So we're gonna look to, what is that, lot to raise on?
City council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Agenda item 1319, direct the Office of Sustainable Development to revise the city's current climate protection plan in coordination with the bureaus of planning, development services, environmental services, water, housing and community development, parks and recreation, Office of Transportation, Portland Development Commission, and Multnomah County.
Commissioner Sten.
Thanks, Mayor, and I think this is bring forward with you and Commissioner Saltzman, and I think Susan Anderson was going to come up and test for, nope, you know, Michael Armstrong is going to come up and test for. Now we know where the real brains are. It almost feels like we just did this because we did a very fun thing this morning, and three of us were over at the County Commission because this is a joint strategy with Multnomah County. So I want to welcome Chair Wheeler and Commissioner Kogan here, as well as their colleagues who supported this. And since 2001, we've had a joint strategy with Multnomah County, and it builds upon the City of Portland's 1994 strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And actually, 1994 was very early in this struggle, and I mentioned this morning that was thanks to former Commissioner Mike Lindbergh, who actually got involved in these issues very early on. And we now are the only community in this country of any size to have reduced greenhouse gas emissions slightly below 1990 levels, about 1%, and we're about 12 or 13% per capita below where we were in 1990. And given that our population growth has been in the range of 15% during that time period, it's a very substantial change, and I think it actually bodes very well for successfully making an argument, which we're trying to make here today and have been making, I think, collectively for quite a few years, that not only can we reduce greenhouse gas emissions, we can do so economically, and we've actually seen our economy get better during this time period. And now I think Mayor Potter, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Leonard are leading efforts to say, this kind of work is not only good for our economy, it is our economic development strategy. We're going to make a niche for ourselves. The challenge that we're throwing out here today, because I think most people know some of this history, is it's not enough. And I think if you look at what we've done so far, most of our global warming efforts, as I see it, have been good results of other successes. So we do land use planning, we do transportation, we do parks, we do all sorts of, we do green buildings, we could get biofuels. And all of those things create a higher quality of life and they reduce emissions. And I've come to say over the years that I actually think greenhouse gas emissions are almost like an indicator of livability. Like if you're building a city that's more livable, you're going to emit less. And that's kind of what we've done. So we've got great numbers, but I think as Michael Armstrong will probably show us here in a few minutes, a per capita reduction is not going to change the trend, and a 1% reduction in overall is not going to change the trend. Some believe we need an 80% reduction. And so the challenge I think that that Commissioner Saltzman and I are offering in this resolution to all of our bureaus is to work very hard over the next short period of time and come back to us with what would we need to do to really change the trends? And I think some of the scientists believe that it's an 80% drop that's necessary. And if we're going to expect the rest of the world to join us, as Commissioner Roberts was asking about at the county this morning, I think we're going to have to, if we're the place that can get it done, we're going to have to get to not just the next level, but quite a few levels beyond that, and whatever that is. And I believe the good news is that our citizens are really focused on this. I really think that one of the just ideas, I don't know if it'll work or not, I've been tossing around with my staff is maybe we should put some ideas on the ballot. Maybe we should take some things that would be bigger than we could go for and see what our citizens think. Because I just have a feeling right now people are looking at things that London has done, things that are happening in San Francisco, Austin, other places. And one of my ideas was let's find the 10 most effective kind of next ideas that are out there in all the different 10 different cities and bring them all back to Portland and see. Because I think that we've been working at this collectively for 13, 14 years. And I think we will have failed miserably if 14 years from now we've done the amount of work that today we are championing as huge progress. And so I think this is really a call to action, but a friendly one. And I think that based on our track record, we can really get there. So with that, I'll turn over to my cohort in global warming reduction, Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, I just want to echo the comments of Commissioner Sten. I think that you know, in addition to an important issue around the future of our planet and of our community, there is also economic opportunity for Portland, Portland businesses. And I think to a certain extent, the reputation Portland Multnomah County have already in having far-sighted policies on green buildings. We have, again, the city and the county share a joint food policy council, a joint sustainable development commission, a joint toxics reduction strategy. To the extent we tackle these issues, we also help build the expertise locally to help us deal with these issues or to help green buildings be green. And that expertise gets its start here. And increasingly, we find that it's exporting itself to other countries and to other cities, whether it's Los Angeles or China. And one of the goals that we haven't met yet in any large degree is making sure that the jobs that are created around sustainability, around combating global warming, translate into some working class job opportunities too. And, you know, we want to have more jobs in Portland and Multnomah County for the people who build the things, the stuff that green buildings are made out of, or the stuff that wind turbines and photovoltaic units are made out of. There's been some very encouraging signs with Solar World going to Hillsboro and SolarX, I believe, at Swan Island, where we're starting to see some of those blue-collar job opportunities. But I think, as Commissioner Stinn said, we get there by staying in the vanguard. And certainly a lot of other cities, and it's great, have strong concerns about global warming. But Portland does have a niche that it can excel in. And part of it is our reputation. And there's nothing wrong with being shameless and building on our reputation because it does, again, feed into the whole economic development cycle. And certainly there's no ownership of good ideas. And to the extent, as Commissioner Stinn said, there's other cities doing interesting things, we should look at doing those here too. And finally, I'll just conclude by saying that it is important for local governments to act. But, you know, hopefully there'll be a day when we start to see more federal policy too. And I hope that day will come maybe January 1st or 2009 or whatever the inaugural date is for the next president. But we've seen, we've had leadership sorely lacking at the national level. And we need to change that as well. And maybe that happens by moving upstream, starting local and moving national. So thanks.
You know, I just wanted to add, I've been thinking a lot about what Commissioner Lonnie Roberts said this morning about everybody else isn't doing this. And I think that in addition to all the things that we can do as a city, I think that we've got to do what we can to help other communities and even other countries look to see how they can increase sustainability. He mentioned India and China. And after we made our presentation to you folks, I was stopped by Pat LaCrosse out in the hall, and he just come back from China, and he said, you know, the Chinese are really hungry for information on sustainability, and if you tell them it works, they'll do it. And so, you know, even as we visit, for instance, next year, I'm going to be going to Suzhou to visit our sister city in China. We want to take information there that can help them formulate better policies, since they're becoming a colossal user of world energy, that we need to do what we can to assist them in those decisions. So with all the other fine points made about what's happening here locally, and we can take pride, I think part of our mission, part of our strategy has to be how do we export this particular ideas and strategies around the world and around our country. So I know we're going to be going to Chicago next week to do that on a national level, but also I think that if our federal government doesn't act, the least we can do is sort of step into that role and do what we can to help out. So I really want to thank Multnomah County and Chair Wheeler and Commissioner Kogan for being here today to talk. Commissioner, did you want to make any? Could you folks please come up? Yes. Yes, it's your turn. Thank you much. Thank you very much for being here. Really
Our pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Do we have Michael first? Or?
Sure. Michael?
Shall I go ahead and maybe give a little bit of the background to this, and then we'll have some discussion? My name is Michael Armstrong. I work with the City's Office of Sustainable Development. If we could switch to the PowerPoint presentation here. I want to offer just a very quick snapshot of the science behind this so that we're up to date on what the challenges are. Talk a little about the policy background, because as Commissioner Sten noted, Portland and also the county have been working on this for quite a few years. Review those highlights, and then just a couple words on the challenge ahead, because I think we need to keep that in mind as we go into revising the climate plan. The chart in front of you shows a couple of greenhouse gases and also a temperature trend going back over the last 400,000 years. It looks kind of techy, but at the same time, you can see that the green and blue lines, which are the greenhouse gases, tend to move at the same in tandem with the red line, which is temperature at the bottom. There's a very well-established relationship between those greenhouse gases and temperature. We can now track it back not just 400,000 years, but 800,000 years. And if you look at the right-hand side of the screen, where you can see the green line, which is methane, going up almost to the very top of the screen, and the blue line, which is carbon dioxide, the most prevalent greenhouse gas, headed the same direction, that is signaling to us very clearly that temperature is bound to follow. And there are still some uncertainties, and the uncertainties are in exactly how bad it will be and what some of the indirect effects may be. In the Pacific Northwest, it's quite well established that we are going to see a temperature increase. We are already seeing a temperature increase. We're expecting another degree and a half over the next, over the last 100 years, we've seen a degree and a half. Over the next 100 years, it's possibly several times that. For us, the biggest impacts are really in the water cycle. When snow falls in the winter, if it gets a little bit warmer, less falls as snow, more falls as rain. That means more water coming out of the mountains in the spring when we really don't need it, less water available in the summer when we do. We need it for agriculture. We need it for fish. We need it in some communities for drinking water. They're not here. We're also expecting a lot more year-to-year variability. Similar issues with forests. They're extremely threatened by climate change. We're expecting more drought, more heat, more fire, more pests. And none of those things are good for the local economy. Lots of people have shown the glacier pictures, and I'll just take a moment to do it here. It's already in evidence. Over the last 100 years, we've watched the Elliott Glacier on Mount Hood melt away. And so I think there's often a sense that climate change is something that's off quite far in the future. The reality is it's in evidence today from right here in Portland. Okay, as Commissioner Sten noted, the city's really been at this for a long time, right down to the 5 1/4-inch floppy diskette that has the original plan on it. Mayor Potter was back in Washington, D.C. this summer and had the satisfaction of waving that in front of certain members of the House of Representatives to note that this is not a new issue, and we've really known what the issues are around this for a long time. When we go back and look at that original strategy, the main components are still very sound. The science has changed around it, but the solutions are there. In 2001, the county joined with the city, and we're able to really broaden the scope of what the plan addresses. The county addresses some parts of the community that the city doesn't so clearly, and we also trued up the goal, which, as it's adopted now, is 10% below 1990 levels by 2010. And I'll come back to where we are in terms of progress on that at the end. Although the climate policy is only 15 years old, a lot of the policies that support the work to reduce emissions date back much further, and I think it's always worth noting that Senate Bill 100 in 1973, which established the comprehensive planning requirements for every town in Oregon, really does lay a critical foundation for this. It's about how communities function. They've got to do so efficiently and be able to provide services affordably and conveniently to all their citizens. Energy is one important piece of that, and I think that provides the framework for thinking about climate. Since then, we've had a host of policies that touch on this in one way or another, everything from recycling to green building, bicycle master plan, the renewable fuel standard just last year, and then we've also got a set of recommendations from the Peak Oil Task Force that came earlier in 2007. What we're doing today with your approval will be launching a process to revise the city and county's climate protection plan. I want to take just a moment on some of the successes in city operations. This has been an area of focus in our office for many years and actually goes back to the city's 1990 energy policy there have been some very systematic efforts to reduce energy use in city facilities, and we've seen quite good economic benefits from that. In total, the city's energy bill is about $2.5 million less today than it would have been had we not pursued all these projects. It's everything from, you know, the lighting retrofits that were done in this building to changing traffic signals to much more efficient LED technologies. Same kind of opportunities around renewable energy. At the wastewater treatment plant, we have a lovely renewable resource in sewage gas. You can burn that to create electricity. We also, for a number of years, used a fuel cell to process that waste gas into electricity. There are now microturbines there. Right now, the Bureau of Environmental Services is in the process of implementing a much larger turbine system where they will generate a lot of electricity, again, using that waste biogas. This is one example. As we look at other city bureaus in the drinking water system, we're generating renewable power in the pipes that are coming out of the reservoirs. I know we're looking at solar power now at the Water Bureau. Transportation, actually, I have something on that as well. But it's a systematic effort to look across the city's facilities. Where are our opportunities? In transportation, one of them is obviously with the fuels we choose. Right now, the city's diesel vehicles run on at least 50% biodiesel, and in the Water Bureau, all of the vehicles that run at lower elevations use 99% biodiesel. It's the largest B99 fleet in the country. We are introducing ethanol as well. Fuel efficiency, always a priority. The city was an early purchaser of hybrid vehicles. Likewise, we're an early purchaser of some of the smart cars that have just been released in the U.S. Changing gears for a moment to look community-wide, I noted earlier the Senate Bill 100 and the links between land use planning and transportation. Those are fundamental to being able to shape a community. That's what makes it possible for people to get around efficiently and without relying on fossil fuels. When we look at some of the changes in terms of light rail, streetcar, bicycling, we're seeing a very significant increase in use of all of those modes. The bicycling numbers, I think, are particularly impressive. We've seen a fivefold increase since the early 90s in bicycle ridership across the bridges into downtown. In a lot of American cities, I think there's a sense that bicycling it's okay for those little tiny short trips, but it's never going to be a serious mode of transportation. Obviously, there are examples in Europe where that's not the case, and bicycling is very much a way to get around town. I think there's some signs that Portland is moving in that direction. You know, time will tell how far we can go with it. But from a climate perspective and a public health perspective and a local economic development perspective, it's a fantastic strategy. I mentioned earlier the renewable fuel standard. This is the only standard of its type in the U.S. All diesel sold in Portland today, with limited exceptions, is 5% biodiesel. That's set to increase to 10% in another 2 years. Likewise, all gasoline is 10% ethanol. So to point quickly to a number of accomplishments, quite widespread acceptance of green building, although still a long way to go. Hybrid vehicle ownership is the highest per capita in Portland than any other metropolitan area. Transit ridership, bike trips, all increasing. Vehicle miles traveled, finally decreasing per capita. Likewise, gasoline sales, household energy, and we've seen more than a tripling in the recycling rate. All of these things, you know, no one of these things is going to get us to the climate goals. All of them together can help move us in that direction. But I also think they do point to this larger question of the size of the reductions that we need to achieve to really address climate change. You put all these things together, and the trend is encouraging to a point. This chart shows emissions of greenhouse gases in the United States. It's the red line along the top, emissions in Multnomah County, the green line along the bottom, and declining. That's a really encouraging trend. As Commissioner Sten noted, this graph is showing absolute emissions, and we're right back at 1990 levels. That's very promising. On a per capita basis, we're 14% below 1990 levels. Again, extremely encouraging to see that over a period of strong economic growth. This puts those same figures on a longer time scale. You can see that to get to the 1990 goal, we've got our work cut out for us. But the trend is certainly pointing in the right direction. But I really want to call attention to where emissions need to go globally if we're going to address this problem, and that's something in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% below current levels over the next several decades. So I think when you look at the set of strategies we need to get to 10% below, we can piece those together to get there. I think we need to start the conversation about what it's going to take to get to 80% below, because it's a different set of questions. Commissioner Saltzman noted this really does present economic opportunities to us, and I'll just touch briefly on this. In Portland, businesses and residents spend more than $1 billion a year to create carbon emissions. That's an economic opportunity. The less we spend on carbon, the more money is available for investing in other things, and investing in other things is much better for the local economy, both in terms of jobs and in terms of wages. And fundamentally, this is getting at, you know, we've got to find a way to address the climate problem. We have to do it in a way that supports a high quality of life. And a lot of that's about local jobs. A lot of that's about a community that can really thrive. It's got people on the streets. We're out. We're healthy. We know where our food and water and all the rest come from. And so the climate plan, I think, is a really key strategy in, within that, but it's one part of a much larger whole. So I very much look forward to working with the county and all the bureaus that are listed there. It's quite a list, and we will have our work cut out for us to do that in an integrated fashion. But I think it's an important effort and one I look forward to working on. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, members of council, I'm Jeff Kogan from Multnomah County. I want to say that hearing Michael's presentation reminds me how daunting the effort is that we face. But I feel fairly optimistic. I feel optimistic partially because in Portland, we've done such a good job already, but largely because in a number of the areas that have to do with addressing greenhouse gases, ranging from just the acknowledgement of the fact that global warming is a problem to the technologies involved in things like green building and renewable energy, we're really just getting to a critical mass stage. And what we've been able to achieve as a very early adopter, I think should give us an awful lot of confidence about what's possible and what's coming. And I think the particular situation here of addressing global warming is one which gives us the rare opportunity, I think, to do well by doing good. And I think that Portland really does have a tremendous opportunity here, which I have to acknowledge is somewhat recognized and recognizable because of the terrific leadership that this council has brought to the community over the past dozen years or so. We now have as Commissioner Sten said, a community that is bought in that this is the right thing to do, a community that recognizes not just that the global warming is a challenge, but that green development is an opportunity. And to get to your point, Mayor Potter, about how we can export this to China and India and the rest of the world, I really believe that the best thing we can do is to first demonstrate that it's successful. And we've begun to do that, but to the extent that we continue to show that as a community we thrive by pursuing these green goals, I think it becomes a much easier sell. And I just want to say that I really value the city's partnership in this and really appreciate the leadership that this council has shown. And I'm pleased that we're taking this next step. And I know 80% is a very daunting goal, but if anyone can do it, we can do it. So thanks.
Mayor and commissioners, my name is Ted Wheeler. I'm chair of Multnomah County, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak. I gave a longer statement this morning before the Board of County Commissioners, so I'll spare you and be to the point. First of all, I want to acknowledge the partnership that developed some time ago around this issue in 2001, and I want to acknowledge that we're building upon the hard work that others have previously done before us. And I want to acknowledge also the work that Jeff Kogan has done previously in this building with Commissioner Saltzman. Commissioner Leonard asked Jeff and I a provocative question months ago that I want to acknowledge that I've thought about.
Be more specific.
The one where you asked what partnership means, and if by partnership do you mean we put money on the table to solve your problem.
That question.
And that you know, that it really stuck in my craw, but I've thought about it a lot lately, and I realize that partnership is an overused word in the public sector, and it frequently does mean we want your money to solve our problem. So I'm glad that we're here today unified around an issue we agree on and that we are all putting resources into the middle of the table and not really caring about whose dollars and cents it is, but what collectively we're going to get out of those dollars and cents. And that's the kind of partnership we should strive for, and that's what we are putting together today. I was very pleased to see the mayor and the commissioners come before our board this morning. I think perhaps maybe as a result of that, our board voted 5-0 in support of this resolution. So we come completely unified. We ask for three things. Number one, that we would continue to update the 2001 plan. Number two, that our Office of Sustainability under Kat West, who is here in the room, would help staff that effort. And of course, they're standing prepared to do that and want to do that. And number three, that we would impanel with you a group of citizens who would help us take the next steps and figure out how to update and what the appropriate next steps are for us to take. So I just want to acknowledge that work. I want to acknowledge the true partnership that we've established here. And I want to mention one tiny thing that I mentioned this morning. There are still people who do not buy the science. And I have to say, I don't know how much more science one needs. And it's probably a lot like the debate that went on around whether the planet was round or whether it is flat. But regardless of your opinion on the science, the fact is this is still the right thing to do. It's cost-effective. It improves our transportation systems and makes them more streamlined and cost-effective. It's good for local industry. It's going to help us reduce the amount of tax dollars that we spend on energy in this community, and it's going to give us a greener community, which is a value that is widely espoused and held in this community. So this is the right thing to do, really, regardless of how you come to the table and how you see those numbers. So we're pleased to be supportive of this partnership, and we, of course, hope that you will vote for it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. You have folks signed up to testify?
No one signed up.
Okay. Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call a vote.
Leonard?
Well, I appreciate the great work that's gone into this. But like most initiatives that come before council, generally this group of people share philosophically fairly identical belief systems. And I think each of us here in our own ways as individuals have demonstrated a commitment to do more than what most have done. And when I say each of us, I mean not just us on the council, but those on the county commission and those in our community have demonstrated we're willing to do more than most to achieve what we consider is a responsible way to exist on the planet that passes it along to our ancestors, not in as good a shape, but in better shape than we inherited it from our parents. And I'm so the CSO work, the green building policy with respect to city-owned buildings, the green roof at the county, and so on, demonstrate really more than just words. They demonstrate actions, which is very important to me. But I do want to caution that as we move forward, and of course this is contemporaneous with an issue that we've all been discussing this week on the initiative for carbon neutral construction of single family dwellings in Portland, that we proceed forward talking to each other, including each other, and to the extent possible working together, because it would be a shame, for instance, in that case, not to holistically look at the issue of building a greenhouse. We at the Water Bureau are actually constructing a greenhouse on one of the surplus pieces of property that we hope to use as a demonstration model and thus an incentive to the building industry to demonstrate that they can build greenhouses, they can sell them, and people will buy them, even if that means paying more than the average price of a house in a neighborhood, because people will pay more to get those kind of features. I believe that, and as a result, we've teamed up with OSD and BDS and planning, and we're going to design and build a really state-of-the-art house. But I'm also mindful that we're trying, under Commissioner Sten's leadership, to try to figure out how to reverse this trend that's been unique in Portland Public Schools of the depopulation of students from an amount to over 20% over the last 10 years, which is just devastating the Portland Public School System, its resources, and it goes to the issue of affordability. So as we have this discussion, we all want the same thing, but we have to balance the needs of those that we serve to make sure we're not pricing people out of the market who end up not being able to live here and have to live somewhere else. I'm also balancing that. So with that one, just cautionary note, as we all move forward, I'm very happy to support this, and am very also mindful of Commissioner Sten's words, which is a primary motive for me in this entire subject area, is this is an economic development tool for Portland. We are uniquely situated as a community, as the county and the city, because of the geography, because of a deep water port, because of the closeness that we have to an agrarian community east of the Cascades that grow a lot of the crops that will be used for these kinds of initiatives to not just sustain ourselves, but export these products to other points up and down the hemisphere. And I believe that, and I know others believe that as well. And for us more than most, this makes a lot of sense. This makes a lot of sense for us to push harder than other communities. It makes sense to, notwithstanding my earlier comments, make people uncomfortable a little bit and nudge them along, because this can mean a tremendous opportunity for Portland, Multnomah County in terms of jobs, tax base, not to mention we're doing the right thing. So thank you all for your work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Mayor Sten and Mayor Potter for co-sponsoring this and the
congratulations.
Did I say Mayor Sten?
Oh. Yeah, it could be condolences.
Okay. Commissioner Sten, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Leonard, too, for his outstanding leadership on biofuels. That was
and intern Leonard.
Exactly. That was impressive to see. We have the largest biofuels fleet in the country. That's very impressive. So anyway, and certainly Chair Wheeler and Commissioner Kogan, we look forward to working together on this to really set some pretty bold accomplishments for us to achieve. And I think that I think we're up for it, and I think our citizens are up for it, too. So look forward to it. Aye.
Sten.
Well, I think you've heard my views on this, and I'm just very excited and look forward to maybe working with our colleagues at the county to make sure that we do get some of these things back and in front of our citizens on a timely basis. I also think that one other source of optimism Commissioner Saltzman mentioned is I do think that this country is going to, with the next administration, get serious about investing in these technologies. And I think that not only is that a good thing for the country, it gives Portland a very short window where we need to be the first folks ready to take advantage of those things. I mean, I think you'll see new ideas, new pushes. And on the downside, I do think is our peak oil task force, we were the only city in the country to really, at this point, take a hard look at peak oil, I think correctly predicts that there's going to be an economic shock at some point. But if we're ready for that, and if there's opportunities that I think are going to come about in this country where we, it's not that we'll start subsidizing energy use, it's redirecting billions and billions of dollars of existing subsidy that the country does do away from fossil fuels into sustainable energy. And I think if Portland is poised with Multnomah County, we should be able to really not only demonstrate this but benefit from it. So it's great work. And I want to thank Susan and Michael, the team at OSD, CAT at Multnomah County, and a lot of private sector folks who serve on our Sustainability Commission. There's a lot of people pushing on this, and your job has been to pull it together and actually make it make sense and lead us in the right direction. I think you're doing a terrific job. So thank you. Aye.
Potter.
I want to thank my fellow commissioners for their leadership on this issue. I think there's a lot to do. We talked this morning about the fact that even though we've accomplished much, much remains to be accomplished. And I think that we have to, as a council, both at the county level and at the city level, look for ways to collaborate and develop partnerships locally, nationally, internationally. I think that since all politics are local, this kind of demonstrated commitment and success and assurance that people can actually make a living doing these things is going to be a model for the rest of the country and perhaps other parts of our world. So I really want to thank Susan Anderson, OSD folks, the county, and all the good folks who believe that we've moved past trying to prove the problem to solving the problem. So thank you all, and I vote aye. Thank you. Could you please read the 2:30 time, sir?
Item 1320, report on the 4th City County Project Homeless Connect event and update on the accomplishments of the 10-year plan to end homelessness.
Mr. Sten.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. I think I'll ask Chair Wheeler to come back up. Ted is chairing. I don't think we've ever done this. We had the same two presentations, more or less, at the county and the city in one day, so it's kind
good
of
planning.
Fun.
It's efficient.
Yeah, very efficient. And Chair Wheeler is co-chairing with me. For the time being, we're going to have, a private sector chair as we've rounded out the newest version of our Citizens Commission to End Homelessness, which is the steering body for our 10-year plan. We worked a set of volunteers very hard for about 5 years, 2 years of planning and 3 years of leading, and so we've reconstituted the commission. I think we changed the name to the Home Again Commission last week and are going to keep pushing into the next 3 years of the 10-year strategy. I actually think that the council has been briefed relatively recently on how we're doing on the 10-year plan. It's very, very well. We are working with police, with hospitals, with partners throughout the county, and it's a joint plan with Multnomah County, and it's the two of us working together, and that cannot be underscored enough, because to help people get off the streets, we found that a housing first model with some flexible rent money is the key to having a chance at success, and that comes from the city, but actually getting that success involves services from the county. And so if the two of us are not working together, we're actually wasting our money, and we're working very, very closely together on this. What we want to do is give out a couple awards today and for Project Homeless Connect, and I think everybody's been and seen Project Homeless Connect, but it grew out of some conversations a couple of years ago in which, and I talked a lot about this at our commission meeting this week, I just have come to believe that there is more than enough goodwill and money, resources, everything that's needed in Portland to have no homelessness. There are, for example, we've started a new partnership with the Luis Palau organization that Mayor Potter helped get going. There are more churches alone in Portland than there are homeless people, and we're not all that church to city. There are neighborhood associations, there are Lions clubs, there's just an endless supply. You're going to hear about some private sector partners today of people who want to help. But it's actually somewhat daunting to figure out how to give people a chance to help in a meaningful way. And so Project Homeless Connect came on the books about 2 years ago. And what we do is twice a year, as you know, we open up either the Coliseum or this last time the Convention Center and invite anybody who defines himself as homeless to come down and take advantage of some services. And it's a little bit of a two-way street, actually. What I found is that the Connect is partially connecting homeless families this last time around in September to some services they need, but it's also really about connecting all of us, the non-homeless community, the regular mainstream Portlanders and Multnomah County residents, to helping. And I've actually found that well, the homeless get a lot out of the event. In a lot of ways, the volunteers get maybe as much or more, and we're actually turning away volunteers. And so the vision of a homeless access center, which is now very close to underway, I think Mayor Potter and I will be able to announce an actual site here certainly long before the end of the year, maybe as soon as the next couple of weeks, is to have Homeless Connect happen every day in a building in the city. We've tried to make Homeless Connect into a brand and almost a movement. So the Trailblazers are now calling their annual Harvest Dinner, which will be on November 12th this year, the Trailblazer Harvest Dinner Homeless Connect, or the Homeless Connect Harvest Dinner. And the difference isn't just in name, and it isn't just in tying our efforts together. In addition to serving food and giving people a great place to go and a lot of fun during the holidays, now the Blazer event also has service connections, other things happening. Supercuts, who we're going to be talking about in just a minute, is going to be there. And so it's more of a connection kind of event, and it's taking an already great event and making it bigger. Luis Palau is going to have his revival down on the shores of the Willamette come the summer of 08. They project as many as 100,000 people coming to that, and we're going to have a Project Homeless Connect at the Luis Palau event. We're going to open up a part of the, and it's going to be figured out and staffed. And our dream is that kind of with these different events that I think we now have a system. We're still going to need to push to get more money. We're going to still need to push to make things happen. But we have a pretty good idea now how to get somebody who's really suffering and has had those bonds severed and is really on the street alone into housing. We know how to connect them up with some services, and certainly we need more of both of those things. This next piece of Homeless Connect is really how do we then welcome that person back into the community? And we see the Trailblazers, the churches, the civic groups all becoming a network that one by one we can connect these families up. And so we did it in a big way in September with Project Homeless Connect, and I want to thank Tara Bowen-Biggs from the chair's office, as well as Mary Carroll from my office, wherever she went, and Ruth Benson, who's been working almost full-time for quite some time to get this event to happen, and Marshall Runkel from BHCD as well for putting this on. And I'll ask Marshall and Ruth to run through a quick kind of overview of what happened at Project Homeless Connect this last September, and then Chair Wheeler is going to help us give out a couple of awards to three of our extraordinary volunteers.
So thank you, Eric. My name is Marshall Runkel. I work at the Bureau of Housing and Community Development. Thanks, Mayor and Commissioners, for the time today. Eric hit the high points. I think that, again, I'm going to quickly speak for Heather Lyons, who couldn't be here today because of a dreadful sewer problem.
Is that where Commissioner Adams is?
Yeah, maybe. But I think that this is also, I mean, this is, we're talking about another ambitious plan. Just I listened to the global warming plan, and this is another difficult problem. It's another city-county collaboration, and I think it's an authentic representation of what the citizens in Portland want government to be working on. So I'm really happy and proud to be working on these issues. We're 3 years into a plan right now, and I think, as Eric said, the proof of concept is complete. The numbers show that if we invest in these strategies, we're going to get people off the streets and into housing. We're exceeding our goals on almost every issue. If you look at the street count numbers, it's clear that we still have a ways to go. And that's, I think, going forward, one of our most difficult problems. How do we communicate the successes that we're having while it's apparent to everybody that there's still people out there on the streets? And I think that what Project Homeless Connect does in its most powerful form is it gets the community involved in helping us solve the problem. And I think one of the big themes is the government can't do this by itself. And to really solve this problem, we're going to need to leverage the resources of individuals volunteering, like you'll hear some of the stories later today, and also get the business community interested and involved in figuring out ways that they could help that don't take them too far out of their comfort zone, like the Blazers example. So Ruth is going to talk more about the event itself.
That's right. In September 18th, we went ahead and welcomed over 1,000 people through the doors to get services at this event. And I went ahead and listed up a bunch of numbers that I'll let you guys read through. But two of the ones that kind of stood out to me was this year we had Project Return, which is a program through Portland Public Schools that helps put wraparound services around students that are homeless. And we saw over 60 students get signed up with that project. And these were students that were actually already enrolled in school, but the parents, the outreach to these people hadn't happened, and so they didn't realize that these services were available to them. So over 60 students now have wraparound services, which includes transportation to and from school, lunches, everything that they're going to need to be successful this year. The other thing that we saw was we had something new in our medical area. We had a psychiatrist come on, and this person ended up actually seeing 10 people. I don't know how she managed that in that squash of hours. I don't think she left her post at all day. I don't know how she did that. But she saw 10 people and ended up getting them all with follow-up appointments, and most of them were without medication. So, again, getting most of them reconnected to medication and doctors, again, back in the system, which is a huge change for us, being able to do that.
The other thing I wanted to underline quickly there is two of the most recent bicycle fatalities in the city were people who are homeless. And the trauma nurses stepped up to get involved in our last event and distributed over 500 bicycle helmets to homeless kids and homeless families. So I thought that was an extraordinary effort on their part. And a recognition of a current problem.
And as Marsh pointed out, that was actually one of the new services at the event. We'd not had the trauma nurses there before, and they volunteered to bring out 300 helmets about halfway through the day. They had to head back to the warehouse and get more helmets. And they were fitting each person individually as well as providing them with safety information. We had other Transportation Alliance groups there that were signing people up for alternative transportation modes and getting them connected with some of the safer routes in Portland to take for cycling.
Marshall, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to clarify because I think you might have misspoke. What you meant to say is of the last group of most bicycle deaths, two of them were homeless, not the most recent two.
Oh, no, right. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. Out of the last 10, two were homeless. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Two of the other pieces that we had there was Brooks Staffing came in, and this is the first time that we've actually had a temp agency come in and conduct interviews and read resumes right there on the spot and be able to offer people second interviews and possibly jobs. Out of the 15 folks that met with Brooks Staffing, 11 people got second interviews, and we're seeing within the next week with Brooks Staffing. I'm still waiting to hear how many of those folks actually came out with a job from Project Homeless Connect. And then the last piece that we really enjoyed was this year we had somebody come and volunteer, which we'll hear more about, Brian McDonald, who volunteered his time and his equipment to come in and take portraits of folks. He ended up shooting over 3,000 pictures in the day of the participants that were there. Most amazing photographs. People were coming out laughing, smiling. They had an amazing time getting their photos taken. For some folks, this was the first time they'd ever had their photos taken. So it was really fun to see people actually not just come in and take care of, you know, I got to get in and get my immunizations done, but I, you know, having some fun while they were there. So that was
and particularly family pictures with kids.
Particularly family pictures. And that's what we're also going to be exhibiting tonight in the atrium downstairs as part of First Thursdays. There will be an exhibition of some of those photos that were taken. And I wanted to go ahead and say a quick piece for some new partnerships. We saw the Tri-County Lodging Association step up for something we've always been lacking, and that is in hygiene items. I don't know why it's been difficult for us to get hygiene items from around the city, but Tri-County Lodging came up with over 14,000 bars of soap, shampoo, conditioner, body lotion, you name it. And people were so appreciative. All of it went. We did not have any of it left over. And they also ended up donating sheets, blankets, pillows, comforters. They were so impressed by what we're doing that they actually signed on to keep helping us out every time we do one of these, as well as between events, helping out other organizations. And actually, Eric already kind of went over these. The next couple of projects we have going on is Harvest Dinner, November 12th with the Trailblazers. February 26th, we're opening up Memorial Coliseum to host another big project, and then we will be partnering again with the Louis Palau Association, for the first time with the Louis Palau Association. And this is a growing list of sponsors and partnerships, and I was impressed to see that we were able to, through the sponsors and partners, leverage close to $200,000 for the 15 that we put in for this event. And it continues to grow every time. To kind of wrap this up, I wanted to go ahead and show a piece that we were really proud of. The Channel 8 came out and did a quick piece on the actual event itself, and give it just a minute here to load. Maybe, maybe not. It is green. It wasn't green earlier, though. There were actually people talking on it earlier. So let's just escape out of this.
Is this part of the new green technology?
It is. Absolutely. It's just kind of, you know, keeping the theme going for today. Let's just see if I can do it this way. Fashionably.
The face of homelessness is changing.
Is it possible to?
Plenty of older men living on the streets. The new homeless are families, including a lot of single mothers. News Channel 8's Dave Northfield joins us now. And Dave, I know you talked with a lot of them today.
I did. And an annual event called Homeless Connect. Hundreds of people turned out to get the help they need. The volunteers who came to help them were surprised because so many don't fit the homeless stereotype. Here's a portrait of a typical family at Homeless Connect. Alan Brock is a father trying to stay off drugs and alcohol, trying to lift himself up and into a home for his family.
Having a home means, you know, not having to stay with, you know, friends, you know, staying on the couch and, you know, wondering where you're going to get this meal.
This hall at the Oregon Convention Center was filled with people sharing the same simple goals.
A place to live and a job.
Like Alan Brock, Monica Sims is living in a shelter with her 7-year-old son. She took advantage of a wide range of offerings, help with her job search. Then she had her hair cut by a stylist volunteering from Supercuts. There's a new face of homelessness. Many are the faces of children.
I go to school. And I play two sports in high school and work at the same time.
Habtamu Cardin is a native of Africa. He came here after his parents died after contracting the AIDS virus. Now he's a kicker on the Jefferson High football team and homeless. But Cardin says not for long.
I don't look like homeless because, you know, I get what I want because I got a hand and leg, I can work, but still, it's not good enough for me to be not homeless.
There are affordable housing units like this one for the homeless, but not enough of them.
It's bad. I mean, you know, housing is very expensive in Portland, but, you know, on any given day, there's a unit somewhere.
That's reason for hope and a reason to smile.
The city and county are nearly 3 years into a 10-year plan to end homelessness. Eric Sten says 2,000 people have moved into homes in that time. Back to you.
Thank you.
Great. Well, we have a couple of awards to give out, and before I ask my lovely assistant, Chair Wheeler, to hand out the awards, I will ask if you'd like to add some words to the conversation today.
Just two. Thank you. Again, this is a partnership that's showing great results. The 10-year plan, the benchmarks you put out there that you had said were originally potentially too aggressive have been far surpassed. I'm very optimistic about the future. I'll throw in my cautionary note about Project Homeless Connect, and I mentioned this the other day at the Home Again Commission meeting. We don't want it to be a victim of its own success. We already turned away volunteers this year, and we're getting more corporate support, more institutional support, more faith sector support. We need to be able to answer the question when they say, how can we help? And so it's very important that we really focus on that and have a clear answer about how we want to leverage that resource going forward. But again, thanks for the partnership. And would you like me to come forward? What's
got the
best
words
way
there.
Do
Why
it?
Don't I read them and you give them out? That
Great.
Sounds good. Our first certificate of appreciation for Project Homeless Connect 07 goes to the Tri-County Lodging Association.
I don't think they made it.
I think Chris is not here, but we were going to, and we'll get to Chris Erickson, who's the general manager of the Heathman Hotel, this lovely plaque modeled by my assistant, Chair Wheeler. But let me just tell you what the Heathman Hotel did for the record. They stepped up. They provided bedding and linens. I think we already showed the statistics. Sheets, towels, blankets, some down comforters, toiletries, 14,000 toiletries, as a matter of fact. And they were given both to nonprofit partners and to individuals who showed up that day. And I really think this next step shows how what we're trying to do and how effective this can be. We've now arranged with the Heathman, who's also leading other hotels, to say when they remodel and get rid of furniture, they're going to give it to the Community Warehouse, which is the group that provides the furniture when families get into a new place. And so it's very exciting and a great piece. So he's not here, but we'll thank Chris Erickson. And I think I would point out, too, and I think everybody knows this, that in this third year of the strategy, the council last year, which I really appreciated, provided some funding, which is actually paying Marshall Runkle and Ruth Benson. And our theory is that the plan is working well enough, we need to go out and organize these donations. And that's what these two folks have been doing very, very ably. So we'll thank the Tri-County Lodging Association and get their certificate to them. I'm pretty sure the people with the best haircuts in the room are the folks from Supercuts, not the folks sitting up here, no offense. And I wanted to ask Denise Reidel and her team to come on up. And I am really so proud of these guys and so excited. At the last four Project Homeless Connects, Supercuts has done over 300 haircuts for people. And I have to say, I really have come to believe that helping people help themselves get off the street is as much a matter of dignity and spirit as it is the services we provide. Now, we've got to have the services, and there is something really, I think, magical to people about coming to the event, and I don't think they expect it when they get there and finding out that they can have somebody take care of them, give them a haircut, make them look good, and I think feel good about themselves, and that's what Supercuts has been doing, and it's really amazing, and you guys, they've shown up at the Trailblazers event, at the Harvest Dinner, and have been at every single Homeless Connect so far, and I actually think the volunteers from Supercuts have really almost, for me, you won't know this, but every time I talk about Project Homeless Connect, I talk about the haircuts, because to me, it's what distinguishes this from sort of a charity drive, which is a good thing, and turns it into a connection, helping people kind of get back on their feet and feel good about themselves. So I want to thank Supercuts. All right.
Yeah. You're super.
And our third award goes to Brian McDonald. And Brian is the owner of BMAC Photography, which BMAC, all right? And he heard about PHC, which is Project Homeless Connect, and actually called us and said he'd like to volunteer almost a day before the event. We pulled him into action. And Brian took over 3,000 photos of the participants. His energy was amazing. I'd be happy if you want to say something, but he did tell our team afterward that it was almost a life-changing event in the sense of this human connection. And I almost hesitate to describe these photos because they were so powerful. And we do have, I think, quite a few of them on display in the atrium downstairs. And I really would encourage people to go and take a look at them because it's everything we've all been trying to say and do and talk about the humanity of people comes out in these photos. And what you see when you look at these photos is that it's not actually a matter of us just helping these folks. It's that we've got powerful individuals who are ready to give back to the city. And if these folks get back on their feet, the city is going to have a lot of strength. And there was something that happened at this Homeless Connect between getting the haircut and then we gave you these two awards together on purpose, and then going over and taking the family portrait. And I think for everybody, we all have treasured family pictures, and it's actually kind of hard to imagine watching your child grow up and maybe not having a camera and being able to take those pictures. So I think what Brian did was really astounding. But it wasn't also just he's a really talented artist. It wasn't just these pictures don't look like if I took them. Let's put it that way. These are works of art of very beautiful people done by a talented and very giving member of our community, Brian McDonald. So thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
And I don't know if we need to vote on this. It's the report.
Yes, we need to accept. But we have to ask, is there anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anybody here who wishes to testify to this matter? Okay.
Thanks, guys.
I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Leonard?
This really is very inspiring, and I've had the opportunity to stop by the last couple of years during the event, and this year they were so packed with volunteers, all I could do was go around and talk to people and ask how they were doing, and it really truly is very inspiring.
So that's your unique skill.
It is, and and so I really credit Commissioner Sten with putting together what has really become a signature event in Portland and one I'm sure we all greatly appreciate. So thank you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I also want to commend Commissioner Sten. This really is, I think Mr. Lynn said it well, a signature event, and it's a signature event of the right kind. And I look forward to it getting bigger and better, but I also take heed with what Chair Wheeler said, that we need to make sure that it's people still, when they want to help, we have a way to plug them in. And I know that's a challenge a lot of organizations face. Some don't face enough of that, but there are some who always face that. You know, if you want to serve a Thanksgiving dinner to the homeless, I mean, that's something you have to probably subscribe to a year in advance. So I think that's going to be the challenge going forward. I think the resources of the list of co-sponsors is very impressive, and so I think we can keep the resources going. So good work, and pleased to support it. Aye.
Sten.
Oh, I appreciate the council's support. This has really been a full effort of everybody on the council. We've got a long way to go, but we were on the right path, and the county just has been really great. I mean, we look for places where we are partnering, and there's just no doubt. And frankly, I actually think that, should have said this before Chair Wheeler left, I think that the piece of coordinating the services is harder than the housing. I mean, because the housing is really critical. It is more a matter of marshaling the resources. If you get the resources in place, you can get the housing built. And this council has stood at front and center on doing that. Getting the mental health services to work, getting some of the things that the county is doing, the health care, I think it is a very hard task, and they're doing it well with us. So onward and upward. Aye.
Potter.
You know, the best part for me is talking to the homeless people. A number of them are shocked that people, companies, doctors, optometrists be down there to help them. And when I listened to their words and their sense that people were accepting them, that people cared about them, that they were human. And I think that we tend to forget that as a society, that These folks are not cast-offs. I think all of them can come back to our society, can be provided the assistance and the resources. I was very touched by a number of the conversations, and I can't wait to see your pictures, Brian, because it sounds as if you've captured some of that spirit and some of that feeling in those folks that they understand that people care about them. And as people gain that understanding, I believe that they're more willing to participate in programs that will assist them in recovery from homelessness, and if they have addiction issues or any other mental health issues.